Hello, my fine friends, and welcome to the first ever, the inaugural, if you will, episode of Destination Discourse. This is a brand new show, never been done before in this industry, and I'm so excited. We've been planning this for a long time. Schedules haven't aligned. Finally, we are here. Hopefully, you're here and listening. So what the heck are we doing? Why do we exist? What is Destination Discourse? And why is it discourse and not discord? Those answers will come to you shortly, I'm hoping. So I'm your host for this amazing show, Stuart Butler. I am the Chief Marketing Officer for Visit Model Beach. I've been in this role for about 3 years. Brand new to the destination marketing industry, came from the hotel side. And I have opinions. I've been called a troublemaker. I've been called an innovator. I've been called some probably not so PG rated names in this industry in my first few years here. But one thing's for sure, we're here to have fun. We're here to shake things up. We're here to challenge the status quo. And that's exactly what this show is about. So each week, we're going to bring in folks from the industry that have strong opinions. We're going to debate them rigorously. We're going to agree. We're going to disagree. We're going to have fun along the way. But really, the goal is let's move this industry forward at a more rapid rate. You know, I think there's a lot of folks in this industry that are doing things that they've been doing for the last 5, 10, 15 years. And one thing's definitely for sure, this industry needs to evolve quickly because technology, consumer behavior, media consumption, all that stuff is evolving rapidly. And if we don't evolve with it, we're going to be really obsolete. I think it's an existential threat. So that's why we're here. That's why I'm here. That's what we're doing. We're here. I mean, really, we're going to save the industry. And that might be an overstatement, but I'll let Adam counterpoint that. So let me introduce my co-host for today. Adam Stoker, he's the owner. He runs an amazing agency called Relic, but he's also a fellow troublemaker in the industry, I would say. He's doing some disruptive stuff, namely the most recent thing being Tourism IQ, which I'd love, Adam, for you to just introduce yourself to the audience. Tell us a little bit about Tourism IQ and why the heck you started that crazy project.
Yeah. And Stuart, thank you. And I'm excited to do this with you. We have been talking about it for a long time. First of all, I want everybody to know that all the names that Stuart's been called that were PG-13 or worse were probably from me. And I'll try not to share all of them with you here on this show. But Tourism IQ, and I appreciate the opportunity to share a little bit about it. It goes right along with some of the things that you said in your intro, that the learning curve in this industry is a little unrealistic because it takes so long for someone entering the industry to get what they need, the knowledge, information, education, everything that they need to become an expert. It takes about 10 years. And in my mind, I like to move fast. I want to have the people that are around me and that work with me move quickly. And I just felt like we as an industry are not moving fast enough. And so I felt like we needed a place where we can congregate in somewhat of a digital town square where we can learn from each other instead of having it just be at these in-person events that are so valuable and great that happen throughout the industry, but they're throughout the year and disparate, and I want it to be 365 days a year. And then there's so much information and knowledge that people have that doesn't get shared for a variety of different reasons. And all of that kind of landed me in, we need to create this digital town square, which is Tourism IQ. You can find it at mytourismiq.com. And I believe that this solution is going to accelerate the learning and education in the industry through all of the brilliant people that we have in this industry sharing their knowledge in a very easy to consume way on that site. And I'm really excited with where we're at so far.
Yeah. So how many folks have signed up for that platform already? I know we just launched it.
We only launched it about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and we've got 250 users, which is really, really exciting.
Really? You're going to go with the word users? Is that the choice?
Oh, man. You know what's funny, Stuart? That's an important branding element that we haven't really talked about. Maybe we need to come up with a creative name. So you know what? You've inspired me. I'm coming back next week to announce what we're going to call the users.
The IQ-anites or something equally ridiculous. I love that. You know,
IQ-anites. I like that.
You know, before I was on the destination marketing world, I was with a company called Fuel. We were an agency similar to Relic, but we focused on hotels, and we called our team Fueligans, which was really kind of fun because, you know, it's got that Hooligan vibe. We were scrappy, you know, we had a little bit of a chip on our shoulder, so we loved the term Fueligan.
I like
so
that.
Yeah, you need to come up with something for the IQ, the Tourism IQ fandom out there. Users is only used by what, drug dealers and software people and marketers. I think that they're the only three that use the term users. We've got to get more personal than that.
We want to be so valuable, Stuart, that it feels like we're the drug dealer.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if that should be your slogan. I don't know. That might just be me, but we'll let the audience decide. Put it in the comments. So this show, let's talk a little bit about what the vision is for the show, right? So right now we're recording this and we're going to publish it on YouTube. We're going to also publish that out to the LinkedIn channel or link to it, at least for the first couple of episodes on the Tourism IQ LinkedIn. We're also going to try to do an audio version of this. You may be actually listening to this as a podcast, so it's going to be ubiquitous, but eventually we want this to be a live show. We want this to be for the industry, by the industry. And, you know, it's not a mistake or happenstance that we have someone from the DMO side, me, a CMO for Visit Model Beach, and you, one of the evil dark side members of the service side, right? So you run one of the agencies. And so we're going to invite people from both sides, the light side and the dark side on here. You can pick which side you are, but we're going to invite them on to have this discourse because this is really going to be a community. And ultimately, we want to go live so people can have real-time conversation and we can have questions asked and we can debate them in real time and people can really see that rigorous process of, you know, what I would consider smarter people than us eventually, right, coming on and really telling people how they see the world. So that's the long-term vision. This is just episode one. So it's a miracle we got to this part, but hopefully down the line, we'll have it live. We'll have community. We'll have all that stuff. So that's where we're going to go.
Bringing on smarter people than us may be the only way this thing works.
Let's hope. So if you're listening to this and you're interested, let us know. Reach out to me. You can find me on LinkedIn, Stuart Butler, S-T-U-A-R-T. You can email me, stuart.butler@visitmodelbeach.com. Or Adam, how can they reach you too and say that they're interested in being a part of this?
Yeah, I'm really active on LinkedIn. So search Adam Stoker on LinkedIn. And then, of course, adam@relicagency.com would be another great way to get a hold of me. And we want to have people on that are not just going with the status quo. We want people to ask questions and are willing to ask questions, even questions that maybe shouldn't be asked according to what we've been taught in the industry. And those are the people we want to talk to because I think that's how we make progress.
Yeah, we need our fellow troublemakers to come join us. You know, I think there'll be people outraged by some of the things we say on this show. And I think that's okay. I think discourse is about challenging the status quo. I think discourse is about questioning things that are unquestionable. There are a lot of smart people in the industry. If you're listening to this and getting mad because it sounds like we're punching down on the industry, that's not our intent. We love this industry. Our sole intent is to raise it up. You know, I use this analogy a lot or this comparison. I originally started my marketing career on the online retail side. And then I moved from the online retail to the hotel space. And I felt like I was going in a time warp back 5 years. It was a step back from retail to hotels, at least 5 years, when I look at how we were handling data, how CRMs were functioning. And I get why that is, right? I get that on the retail side, the hotel side, retail has a much quicker turn in terms of transaction. So I can learn more quickly, and I can iterate more quickly. Then when I came from the hotel side to the DMO side, it was like I stepped back another 5 years plus. And so what I'm really saying is I feel like this industry is 10 years behind some of the more sophisticated marketing that's out there, especially on the online retail side. And I get it. I understand why. You know, it's hard when we don't control the transaction. It's hard when, for a lot of destinations, the person's only making one transaction in a lifetime or maybe a couple in their lifetime if you're an exotic destination. Or even if you're a destination like Myrtle Beach where people are coming back annually, it's only once a year. It's hard to learn and quickly adapt and iterate and optimize on that kind of cycle. So we're not blaming anyone. We're not pointing the finger at anyone. We're just observing what it is. And we're going to try to do our best to use the tools we have, the people that are in this industry that are challenging that status quo. And we're going to bring them in, have a conversation, and see if we can all learn together and maybe do things a little bit better tomorrow than we are today. So that's why we're here. We're trying to help. And so love feedback, good, bad, you know, that's how we learn. So reach out to us. We'd love to hear your opinion and voice it on this show. So let's kick in. Let's get into the format of the show. We're going to have a couple of segments each episode. At least that's the plan right now. We fully reserve the right to change our minds because, you know, these things sort of take on a world of their own once they're out in the wild. But right now we're going to do a new segment at the beginning, and then we're going to have a topic that we're going to debate. And the objective is not for us all to agree. You know, we might have two or three or four people on some of these episodes, and we want rigorous debate. That's why it's called discourse. It's deliberate. We want to have differing opinions. We want to not always agree on stuff. And we feel like that's where we'll eventually find some consensus, but we'll push to each other forward and challenge each other, you know? And I think that's how we grow when we're a little uncomfortable and that we're being challenged. So Adam, you wanted to call this first segment, the new segment, Stu's News. And you originally wanted to call this whole show Stu's News, which I resisted with all of my might. But do you want to call this segment Stu's News? Is that what I'm understanding?
I would love to call this segment Stu's News. It's just low-hanging fruit.
It is. It rhymes. It has everything, right? It just needs a jingle. So maybe we need an AI to create a jingle for us at some point. But I think we'll call this Stu's News. So here's how Stu's News is going to work. I am going to use AI because it's my favorite friend. And not only am I going to use AI, I'm going to use an AI chatbot in ChatGPT that you created, Adam, called the Destination Marketing GPT. So why don't you tell people what that is real quick, and then I'll tell you how I'm using it.
Yeah, so it's the Destination Marketing Agent. And what we decided to do is with AI being what it is, there's so much information out there that it's pulling from that people who create content are actually a step ahead because they have a database of content that they can pull from. And I realized that when we look at our specific space, there's not a lot of people who have created a large volume of content like I have with the Destination Marketing Podcast. I also wrote a book called Touchpoints that has a lot of my early observations, especially as it pertained to branding in the destination marketing industry, along with other content that I've created. And I'm like, wait a second, I can create a limited large language model using the ChatGPT technology and basically have people get answers from not only me, but the guests that I've had on my podcast, and be able to have people have a really valuable resource from some of the smartest people in the industry who I've been able to be lucky enough to have as guests on my show. And it's worked really, really well because now my team uses this, I guess, chatbot is what I would call it, this GPT, called the Destination Marketing Agent through ChatGPT. And it's helped all of us accelerate what we're doing because not only does it have people's advice, but it has mistakes that they say they've made and things that they've learned from those mistakes. And so we can help everyone learn a little bit faster by having that database to pull from. And so far, so good. Really excited about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. You know, it's become, I use ChatGPT a lot and, you know, I have the paid version. It's become my sort of augmentation, which is how I think most people have settled on using it. Makes me faster, makes me smarter, all the stuff that a lot of folks talk about. But I have found that it's not specific enough in certain scenarios. So I've found that I use the regular 4.0 GPT for a lot of things. But if I'm really trying to figure out destination stuff, right, strategies, tactics related to DMO marketing, I use the LLM that you created because it has a lot of inherent knowledge baked in that the standard one doesn't. And so I use that to do Stu's News today. So what we're going to do each week is we're going to prompt it with basically saying, tell us a topic and cite the source of an article that is relevant to this audience for Destination Discourse. And then we'll just sort of dissect it a little bit. So we'll see how it goes. Now, this was unprompted in terms of I didn't lead the witness. Today's topic that we're going to debate in a second is, you know, the future of destinations and our relevance because of the changes coming from AI. So keep that in mind. We'll talk about that in a second. But the article it came up with was from Skift. You know, obviously everyone knows Skift. It's a reputable media outlet for the destination. And so the topic of this was destination marketers are turning to AI for personalization in post-pandemic marketing strategies. And it basically gives a few examples. We'll link to this in the show notes, but it gives a few examples of some of the stuff that folks are using. So you haven't read that article, I know, Adam. I just told you the headline. So just from the headline alone, what's your initial reaction?
Well, my initial reaction is that when people are using AI, their expectations have changed from what their expectations used to be with Google. Everybody used to be satisfied with a list of 10 links on the first page that you could click through and then go find the information that you wanted. People now are getting immediate answers to their questions through AI, which means their expectations on preparing for and booking travel are also changing. And so the way I look at this is they're expecting more personalization because they're getting it in so many other parts of their life. Of course, they want it personalized to them. So with AI, you can say, here's my preferences, here's my desires, here's what I want to accomplish, and here's who I'm going with. Give me an itinerary, give me a plan. And they expect a personalized plan for their interests because that's how AI is conditioning them in every other facet of their life. And I really think what may happen is just like I built the destination marketing agent, GPT, there may be travelers who upload all their past travel habits, history, where they ate, and ask AI to start planning future trips based on their past habits. And that's the type of personalization that I think consumers are going to continue to demand as time goes on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting, right? Because I sort of, you took that, the external view of this and what this means from the consumer perspective. I read the headline, you know, because it's from Skift, it's talking to the industry, and it's once again, for the millionth time, talking about how marketers are trying to personalize the experience, right? And so AI is just the latest way that we're trying to personalize the experience. And I think, you know, I there's certain words that we in the industry and marketers in general have overused, misused, and have become sort of meaningless in a lot of ways because they're so, I don't know, esoteric or just nebulous, right? And so personalization is one of those. Authenticity is another one. We'll probably talk about that in a later show. But marketers have been chasing personalization for as long as I can remember, as long as I've been in the industry, right? 20 plus years. And AI seems to be, for some people, seen as a silver bullet to accomplish that. And I just don't think it's that simple. You know, I think at the end of the day, the human strategy has to be at the forefront of the decision-making process. And AI can help automate certain parts of that, but you still got to have a human that's leading that conversation and thinking about it from a consumer perspective. And it's not a sort of ones and zeros, black and white kind of a process. It's a how do we treat people in a conversation the way they want to be treated? And it's, you know, I think we too often focus on people as a user, you know, and think about it as a transaction versus a relationship. And so I would definitely encourage people to read this article. I will say that, you know, I actually took from GPT, and this is one of the challenges with AI, the actual subject, and I asked it to give me the URL where this article came from. It couldn't do that. So I went and Googled that subject line, found an article on Skift that was very similar, but the subject line didn't match. And it was co-written by Google, so there was an agenda in there. So, you know, I think there's a lot of this going on in the industry where there's certain power brokers or certain agendas that exist that are trying to get us to adopt a certain mindset and to think a certain way because it's in the interest of those folks. And in this case, it was in the interest of Google because Google wants to encourage people to use Google tools for, you know, as DMO marketers, to use Google tools to help communicate with the consumer. And in that case, we're giving up our control of the consumer and we're giving that over to Google.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point. And you definitely took a different angle than maybe I was anticipating. You know, when it comes to personalization, I don't think, man, here I am. I'm going to actually say that my organization might not exist at some point. But I don't know, as we continue with AI, I don't know that advertising in its current form is going to exist in the future. And the reason I say that is that if people are changing the watering holes entirely, if there's not an ad infrastructure built on top of what the future watering hole is, for example, right now you can't advertise in ChatGPT, then I think we really need to be rethinking our strategy. But the one thing that we can control, regardless of what vehicle people are using to get their information, is making sure that we as a destination marketing organization are providing the accurate and reliable content that matches up with the questions that are being asked, right? And so the way I look at it is, regardless of how people are going to make their decisions, our role as a destination marketing organization is to create valuable content that, if those LLMs are going to be pulling from that content, that it's accurate and that there's enough volume of content to match the possible questions that could be asked, which I think is going to be an interesting exercise for people, because I don't think that content needs to be geared around booking a trip. It needs to be geared around information gathering, which is a different tone and a different even structure of content than maybe DMOs have been creating in the past.
Yeah. So let's sort of segue away from the article specifically in the personalization, and let's go jump into the topic, because it just so happened that the article and the topic today were the same. That's not going to be that's not going to be what happens every episode. But I think we're sort of blurring the lines, and we're doing a great job of confusing the audience in the first episode, which is good for us, right?
It's what I do.
Yeah. How many episodes of your podcast have you done it? I think you confuse people for like 300 episodes now, something like
340.
That. Yeah. So let's sort of play a game, because I sort of agree with you and I sort of don't agree with you. You know, Amazon always does a good job of not just thinking about the things that are changing, but they also think about the things that won't change, right? So let's sort of start there and start sort of pontificating a little bit about, fast forward, if the trends that we see today continue indefinitely, where do we end up, right? With the predicate that some things won't change, right? One of those, I believe, is people will have a desire to travel and will travel, right? That's I think, if that's not the case, we're all in trouble, right? And I think people have tried and will continue to try to offer virtual experiences of travel, but I don't think it'll ever replace the real touch and feel experience of travel. And I think people increasingly are realizing in this ever more digital world that those real experiences are valuable, especially to their kids, right? As they're maturing and growing up and socializing. And so I think travel will always be there. Now, if I start to look at other things, people that do travel, they're going to want to be informed when they travel. They're going to want to travel to places where they feel there's value. You know, they're going to want to travel to places where they feel comfortable and safe, right? Those things are not ever going to change. What might change is how they're inspired, you know, what channels, mediums, and formats that inspire their initial consideration. What is going to change is how they consume media. What is going to change is how they research. What is going to change is how they eventually transact, okay? And so where I think we're going is, especially we're on the cusp of iPhone coming out with the iPhone 16 and Apple Intelligence, and I think that'll be a game changer and a seminal moment, because I think there's a lot of savvy people right now using ChatGPT. But there's a larger number of people that aren't knowingly, deliberately using AI in their everyday lives. But I think there's a swath that will become AI users in a meaningful way once Apple Intelligence launches and that's integrated with Siri and with ChatGPT. And so my hypothesis is that we're going to go to this conversational reality, right? And so you've talked a lot on your show, and we've had conversations about, you know, Google and a search engine is about finding information, right? That's typically when people go to a search engine, they type in a query, they're looking for information. And I think we're going from an era of information to conversation. And I think AI is getting sophisticated enough to where you can have intelligent conversations, and eventually transaction will be baked into that. And so there's a potential reality in the not too distant future where a consumer is using their Apple device or some other voice enabled device or type device to not necessarily get inspired, but once they've been inspired, to go through the whole consideration, research, and transaction on their own in a walled garden, in an ecosystem where they don't need to leave. And that's really Google's agenda right now. They want their AI to be the one-stop shop. And this Skift article even talked about this, where you can watch videos and get pricing and do other things within that platform. So the question is, if that's a reality that's potentially coming down the pike, what is the role of the DMO? You know, what is our job? How do we deal with that reality? You know, certainly it poses an existential threat to a DMO website, a DMO call center. You know, we talked about us it being important that we're providing data to the AI LLM, but I would argue that that's not necessarily an inherent mandate for our organizations. Because if we step back to why we exist, a DMO exists to try to nurture travel, right? To improve the quality of life for the local residents through the tourism economy. So we want to drive bookings. We want to drive people that book earlier, stay longer, spend more. Not necessarily more people total, but we want to have a bigger impact on our local community in terms of tax revenue and things like that. So there was a point where we weren't in the content game. There was a point where we weren't in the website game. There was a point where, you know, a lot of the technology and advertising we spend today didn't exist, but we were still performing that job of being an advocate and an agent for the destination to improve the quality of life for the residents. So what does that look like when we maybe don't have a voice in the ecosystem and the process of the transaction and the research? Does it all become inspiration at that point, or do we still have a role? So that's a long, long sort of soliloquy, but I'd love to get your reaction to that and push back where you disagree.
I agree with part of what you're saying. I think first I want to talk about the experience, because you mentioned that AI and virtual experiences will never replace a travel decision, people actually going and visiting a place in person. My reaction to that is, I agree with you that people will always travel, but I think the expectations of the traveler are going to evolve significantly over the next several years. And I believe that travelers are going to demand a blending of the physical and virtual world because of AI. And a great example of that in my mind would be if somebody is, and you're in Myrtle Beach, and I've been to Myrtle Beach. If somebody is in Myrtle Beach and maybe wants to visit a shopping center, and they can't see from the outside what's on the inside. I'm totally coming up with a, you know, hypothetical situation. Can they, through their device using AI, see the interior and decide whether or not it's worth their time to go into the retail center that they're standing outside of, right? And again, totally hypothetical, but I think people are going to want that type of blended experience where they can get a preview on their mobile phone and decide whether or not taking an action as a customer is worth their time. And so I think, yes, people will always travel, but they are going to demand more and more blending of virtual and physical experiences so that their time on their vacation is so much better used and that they have a much better experience in the destination. And I think AI has the ability to provide that. So that's number one. The second thing that I would say is, you talked about, we really have to question, what is the role of the DMO if we no longer have a role in the transaction? Because, you know, maybe the transaction happens within the AI platform that we don't have the ability to advertise on. And I would actually say that in today's day and age, without the influence of AI, there's an argument to be made that the DMO already doesn't necessarily have a role in that transaction, because we can't measure whether or not we actually influenced that. Now, I guess we can measure influence. We can't measure that we were the trigger for them to actually book that trip. So then you say, okay, well, if we have that question today, what can we do today? Well, I think number one, what a DMO can do is inspire people to travel by making the destination as attractive as possible to potential consumers. But the second thing that I would say, and this is where I think most destinations fail, actually, is once somebody books that trip to the destination, I believe that the destination has the opportunity to make the lives of the residents better by maximizing the impact, the financial impact of that traveler when they arrive in the destination. And I think destinations focus so much on the transaction, which they currently can't measure truly what their role was in that transaction, and don't spend near enough dollars, effort, time in helping maximize the value of that visitor and the dollars that they spend when they come to the destination, both of which, from the inspiration standpoint and maximizing economic impact, both of those will still be able to happen even if AI takes control of the transaction. I just think more people should even be focusing on that now instead of being so, we're wasting a lot of money attempting to influence the transaction when we can't measure it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think some DMOs do it better than others, right? I think we have methods here. We use a platform called Flip2 to actually see some of the transactions and tie them back. So I think to a degree, and generally speaking, you're right. But I think there's different levels within the industry. But I think where I agree with you is we don't spend enough time as an industry thinking about the entire travel journey, right? And one of the things we try to do at Visit Model Beach is think about it as a continuum, right? So people are constantly somewhere on this continuum, and they might be on multiple continuums at the same time for different trips. But, you know, generally speaking, a lot of DMOs will say, I want to inspire travel. I'm going to spend media to try to inspire that. I'm going to run social media campaigns to try to inspire travel. And a lot of those will send them to a DMO website that doesn't do a tremendous job at reducing friction in the decision-making process, most of which don't control the transaction at all. So it's sort of sending them into a bucket with a lot of holes in it, and then hoping that eventually the consumer figures it out and goes and actually makes a transaction. And then it's like, my job is done as a DMO, right? And so at Visit Model Beach, we try to think about every step. So not only is there the inspiration and the consideration and the transaction, there's also that period between which they booked and which they stay, that booking window, where there's a lot of anticipation, a lot of studies that suggest that people are more excited, more happy during that period than they are during the actual vacation itself. And so how do we capitalize on that? How do we inspire people to just stay an extra night, for example? How do we inspire them to do more when they're in town, and to your point, spend more money so we raise more tax dollars and improve the quality of life? How do we, you know, it's not just about generating more money, it's also about reducing the footprint of the person, right? We have a lot of buzz around regenerative travel and things like that right now, but I think as stewards of the destination, it's also on us to make sure the negative impacts of travel are minimized for our local community and for the world community. But then the stay, like hardly any DMOs are talking to these consumers during the stay. Then you have the afterglow, right? This period when people are primed, they're just excited about the memories they've created. They want to share it on social, and they're super primed to want to come back again. You know, this is the point at which they're most likely to make their next booking. And so we used to at Fuel have this saying that, you know, your best next guest is your current guest. And so you should be starting that process of selling them on their next vacation the minute you know they're coming to your in that case, hotel, but in this case, destination. And so that's a circle too, right? So once they're past the afterglow, they get back into that inspiration and consideration. And so what we need to do as DMOs is find a way, and AI is a part of the solution, I think, to create a really robust customer data platform, database of who the people are that's traveling, but more importantly, what their behaviors are, what their attitudes are, their psychographics, and understand all the touch points and work collaboratively with your destination, you know, the cities, to make touch points in real time so we can tell not just digitally where people are in the journey, but physically where they are when they're here as well. And that, whether that's your QR codes or whatever, you can figure that out. But we're committed to, I believe the DMO's role in the future is being that sort of relationship holder on a holistic level with the individual. Because if we can provide value to that guest through information, through resolving their conflicts or their issues, we can inspire them, we can provide them with new things they didn't consider, we become a trusted influencer on their decisions, and we can bring them back more frequently, we can encourage them to spend more money. So to me, how we do that, we've got to figure that out. But that, to me, is our role. We should have a one-to-one personalized relationship with every visitor that comes to our destination. I think that's the way we protect ourselves. I think that's the way we stop ourselves from becoming irrelevant.
Yeah, I think I want to stand up for some of the small destinations out there right now. And because one of the things that you said is, you know, en masse, yeah, it's a problem as far as so the ability to measure and influence the travel decision. But at Myrtle Beach, you guys and several other destinations are doing a great job. But in a lot of cases, budget is prohibitive, right? And you have to, mm-hmm. and of course, your budget is prohibitive as well. And I'm not insinuating that it's not. But I think for a lot of these small destinations, let's say they have a $750,000 marketing budget, and they've got a board full of stakeholders, most of them hoteliers, saying, I want you focused on bookings because that's how you're funded, right? And so what they do is they prioritize these tactics that we hope are truly influencing visitation, and we're spending very little time, effort, and money on, like you said, between the booking window when somebody books the hotel and when they arrive, and then also when they're there in person and then in the afterglow. Those are all great times to be able to continue to build a relationship with that visitor. But I think most destinations, because of the incentive structure in the industry, because of the way the stakeholders are demanding a certain type of impact and result, they're unable to build the relationships that are actually going to affect long-term sustainable visitation, because they constantly have to be hunting or they're going to lose their job. And I think that's one of the, I guess, my complaints in this industry is I don't believe that the incentive structure matches the mission of a DMO, and that's actually regardless of AI.
I think part of our role, though, right, if we're going to be stewards of the destination, part of that is advocacy, part of that is education. And so I think you've got to think of your board and your members, if you're member driven, and your local community as stakeholders. And so the same personalized relationship you're trying to create with the visitors, you need to create that with these other individuals and understand what their pressure points are. But also at the same time, when they're saying, I want bookings today, 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 you've also got to tell them and warn them of the eventual future, right? We know paid advertising is getting more expensive. We know it's harder to reach an audience. Privacy policies are getting stricter. We're heading towards a scenario where our paid media dollars are getting less effective each and every year. It's getting more expensive each and every year. And there is a future potentially where paid media just isn't effective. And so you said a lot of these people do this and hope that they're generating the bookings. Hope is not a strategy, and it's not something that's going to be sustainable in the future. And so what happens next time there's a downturn, and you have no lever to pull to actually create demand, right? Because that's going away with this AI sort of infiltrating the process. So you've got to do a good job right now educating your board, educating your investors of why we're going to continue to keep the pedal to the metal in terms of driving demand. But at the same time, we've also got to future-proof ourselves. We've got to be more collaborative as a destination. We've got to share more data. We've got to figure out a way that we can protect you as an individual hotel or restaurant or attraction, but also leverage the insight and the relationship you have on a more holistic level to help elevate the whole destination. I mean, the whole reason DMOs exist is because a bunch of businesses in Detroit in, what was it, 1896 or something, came together and realized if they pooled resources, they could be more effective at bringing groups to their destination. I mean, that's why we all exist. So we have to ring that bell loud and say to our stakeholders, hey, we need to do this together. It's not about your bottom line or your bottom line. It's about our community's bottom line. And we're better and stronger together at fighting this major disruptor that's coming down the pike. And so I think those conversations about how can we, regardless of our budget, how can we communicate better? How can we collaborate better? How can we pull our resources together? That's really why we exist. We're a convener, right? Well, that's a DMO's role, is to convene the organizations in your destination to help make sure that there's a rosy future for your destination. And so that needs to be a part of the conversation in every board meeting, now and forevermore.
Can I ask you a question on that, Stuart? Are you suggesting, yeah, no questions here. Are you suggesting for those listening that if they're right now having to choose between a confrontation, and by the way, confrontations can look a lot of different ways. Some of those could just be disagreements, whatever. Mm-hmm. But a confrontation with a board member, or continuing down this path of using hope as a strategy, you're saying if you don't take that head on and try to influence the thought process of that stakeholder, you're going to find yourself in a situation where you're going to get blamed for the failure anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So skip the step and have the conversation with the board member now.
Yeah. Listen, the magic you're looking for is in the things you're avoiding. That is as true today as it's ever been, right? The magic you're looking for is in the things you're avoiding. Those hard questions, if you delay them, they're inevitably going to come up, and you're just going to be further down the line and less likely to be able to react to the changing scenarios. So having those difficult discussions today is imperative, because there's never going to be a better chance of you being successful in convincing someone of the change. There's never going to be a better chance than today of you protecting your revenue streams. So have those conversations, but do it in a collaborative, proactive, positive way, because you know there are opportunities for DMOs right now. The world has changed. If you continue to do the same thing today that you did last year, you're obsolete, and you're going to become irrelevant, and your destination marketing organization isn't going to exist for much longer. Your funding will get pulled. And so now's the time to try to figure out a long-term strategy for success based on what we know. You know, control what you can control. There's a lot we can't control right now, especially how consumers are changing their behavior. But you can have those hard conversations. It's not easy. That's why they're called hard conversations. But I promise you, if you lay the foundation today, it's going to be easier for you to do your job tomorrow.
I like that. I like that. And I think, you know, coming back to AI a little bit, we don't know where it's going. Like, nobody has the crystal ball of, okay, here's exactly what the travel experience is going to look like in 6 years or whatever. But I will say the worst thing you can do is stay out of the game right now. I feel like AI was a great equalizer, because whether you had just graduated from high school or whether you'd been doing the job for 30 years, you know the same amount about AI, because everybody started at zero. And people that sit this out and think it's a fad or something like that are going to find themselves so far behind. I think education is critical at this point.
Yeah, and I would argue AI raises the floor more than it raises the ceiling. I think it is an equalizer. It makes an average person very, very good, right? It makes a very good person a little bit better. But it really does raise the competition for all destinations. And so we've got to embrace it. Putting our head in the sand is that's another hopeful strategy that's not going to work out. And so, you know, I think part of what I want to accomplish with this show is these kind of conversations. We're going to pontificate a little bit. We're going to sort of dream a little bit. We're going to ramble a little bit. But I hope in that it's going to inspire thoughts and other conversations. And so if this conversation inspired you today, reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to get you on the show. If you're a part of our wonderful, amazing industry, which I believe, I've worked in a lot of industries, there's not a better industry in the world than the destination marketing industry. It's the most friendly, helpful, selfless group of individuals that want to collectively work together. And we want to harness that and create a platform for those individuals to just do a little bit better tomorrow than they did today. And so that's why we're here. And we hope you enjoyed this show. We promise we'll get smarter people on future episodes. That's the goal, at least. But yeah, any parting words, Adam, before we sign off for today?
No, I'm just really excited for this. I feel like we're fortunate as an industry to be so collaborative. Why not take advantage of it, build a platform where we can learn from each other at an even deeper level? And I do think there's way too much agreement in this industry. I think there's a few sources that provide information, and everybody else kind of just nods along. And I don't think that sparks innovation. And one of the goals we have with this show is to bring on a lot of different voices with a lot of different opinions. We want to disagree, because when we disagree, we get stronger. Both our positions get stronger. And I'm really excited for what the fruits of this are going to be.
Great. So, Adam, if they want to reach out to you, how can they find you?
Adam@relicagency.com, or hit me on LinkedIn, Adam Stoker.
Cool. And you can also find me, stuart.butler@visitmodelbeach.com. It's spelled S-T-U-A-R-T, although I do have it spelled the wrong way as a backup email in case someone forgets how to spell my name. But S-T-U-A-R-T is the correct way. And if you know someone with an E-W, just tell them that their name was spelled wrong and tell them that I told you that. It's fine. But yeah, this has been great, Adam. Thank you for being here. This has been the Destination Discourse. Is it a podcast? Is it a podcast? I don't know. What are
it's
we going to call
show,
it?
It's a show, Stuart. It is a show that transcends media.
There you go. Transcends media. I like that. That should be our tagline, transcending media. But yeah, thank you for tuning in. This has been the Destination Discourse show, and we hope that you tune in next time.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys. All right, Adam, that was great. I've got to figure out how to stop this, and then I'm going to have to edit this out, or I could keep it in because, you know, it would be fun.